You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Well, it's Vision Sunday. And at the beginning of each September time, we try and give some time over just to cast vision, if you like, set the scene for the next academic year, to set our course of direction. And I have to say, starting this autumn, I feel more excited, more faith-filled, more expectant than ever. I know I think I probably say that a lot of years, but this year I mean it. No. It can. Thank you, Ben. Thank you. Absolutely. I just see faith rising. As I talk to people, I see faith rising. I like Nathan, was stirred by the report, you know, the quiet revival. And it's easy to see it in a report, in sort of research, but I see it amongst us as well. I mean, just have a little look around. Look around at people. Look, it's quite a cool bunch. Everyone's a little bit dodgy there, aren't they? Who do I look at? But you know what? In this room, there are people whose faith is rising. In this year of faith, as we set it out to be, I have seen faith rising. Faith for things, faith for all sorts of different ways. And I see it amongst us. And it's not surprising, is it? Because we are a church. In fact, should we say we are a church? Let's say it. We are a church. Who are we? The church. And I'll tell you what, that is a significant thing. So this morning, I want to just sort of start the beginning of two Sundays. And I really want to start by asking the question, sort of why, really? I don't know if you've ever stopped to ask yourself, why? What, you know, why are you here? I don't know. Probably all sorts of reasons, aren't there? Why do I do what I want to do? For most of us, we know the what we're doing. I mean, some of us struggle with that level, but most of us know the what we're doing. Just look at our diaries or look at our planners. Many of us think about how we're doing it as well. The culture in our homes or the culture in the church, the sort of how we're doing it. But far fewer ask the deeper question, why? Why are we doing it? Over the summer, I read a book on leadership. It was called Start With Why. And some might have read it. It was a Simon Sinek book. He's a leadership guru, business sort of guy. Wasn't a Christian book. He just advises organizations, charities, businesses, and sort of suggests that sometimes they just focus on the what. That's what all their focus is on the what and what they do. And some, he suggests, goes further to think about how they do it. And they'll create culture statements or values. I mean, they're up on the wall there for the school. That's the how they want to do education in this school. But often, he suggests, people don't start with why. And over the summer, as I read the book, I just thought, you know, I just felt the whisper of God, really, if I'm honest, saying, in September, start with why. I was going to go straight into this morning all the exciting plans for the autumn, because they are exciting. Boy, they are exciting. But I just felt that gentle encouragement to remember our why as we start off. So today I want to start with why. It's going to feel slightly different from next Sunday, when I want to focus on the how and what we're going to do as we go through this autumn. But this week, I want to start with why. Is that all right? Oh, there's a sort of expectation. And I can hear music. But that isn't my music. That must be somewhere else. Anyway, so why? Got me thinking as well about Jesus's why. The more I thought about it, the more I sort of thought, did Jesus, actually was quite clear. He says in quite a few different places, different things that you could look in that way. But the one that I just landed on for this morning is in John 10:10, where he said, I came that they may have life and life abundantly. Some translations say life to the full or to full measure or to a rich and satisfying. The Message paraphrase says, I came that they may have real and eternal life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. Jesus came to bring life, bring abundant life. See, Jesus saw the big picture. He'd been there at the beginning of creation. God created the world and then after every iteration declared it was good. Then on the sixth day, he creates people, men, women, and he says it's really good, or very good. That's why when we look around, we say, this is very good. It's full of people who love God. Then in the second sort of creation narrative in Genesis 3, paints a picture of men and women who are made in the image of God. It's a powerful picture. Enjoying paradise. There was purpose, provision, purity. It was a place where we see the love of God and connection between men and women and God in its perfection. But into this shalom, this picture of peace and contentment, Satan whispers, did God really say? And causes them to doubt what God says. And you read the story, peace and contentment becomes anxiety and fear. Strife and hardship breaks in to the world. And worst of all, there is disconnection between God and man and between man and woman. Other-centered love turns in on itself. Selfishness comes to reign. Me. It's all about me. See, Satan was out to destroy all that was good and sow suspicion that God doesn't have our best interests at heart. He sows a suspicion that God's not good. He's not for us. Can't really love us. It's all there in this sublime few chapters at the beginning of the Bible. That's why Jesus says, there's a thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Before he says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. In a sense, that breaking in of Jesus' kingdom was his why. And it changes everything. And as we enter this autumn, I think Jesus is saying to us, I'm coming that you may have life and life to the full. Not just as a church, not just as Jubilee, but for you individually, you in your families. Because there's a thief who comes to destroy and steal, but there is one who comes to bring life. Life abundantly. And in all that I do, that you do, in all of our programs, our ministries, our events, I believe there's going to be life coming. And that's part of his message as we start this new term. Why? Because Jesus wants in. Jesus wants in to this church, into our families, into our homes, into our lives, into our careers, into our whatever we're putting our hand to. Jesus wants to be in our lives. Amen? I mean, that is a good amen. Could have been louder. It totally transforms things. If we really have faith that Jesus wants to be in on what we're doing, on how we're living, what we're doing in our lives. Jesus wants to be involved in what is going on in Jubilee, but he's also wanting to be involved in what's going on in your world. And he knows that there's a thief who's out to destroy. But he comes, and we believe All authority has been given to him, and he comes to bring life. The thief comes to steal and destroy and kill. I've come that they may have life and life it in the full. For too long, the thief has robbed people in Farnham of the presence of Jesus in their lives. Amen? The thief has robbed many of us too, in different ways, from knowing the blessing we have in Jesus. And so as we start, I don't want to get into all the programs and all the wonderful things we're doing before we really grasp the blessing we have in Jesus as a church, as a community, and as individuals. We really need to get that into our hearts and into our souls. And what a blessing we have. I couldn't resist but go to Ephesians. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. The beginning of Ephesians. It's a wonderful book which talks about the blessing that we have in Christ. In fact, I was so blessed by it, I'm going to read the whole first chapter to you from the Message Paraphrase translation. Just let this get absorbed into your souls. It's in the original language, it's like there's no punctuation. The apostle is just so enthusiastic, so excited, so motivated, so stirred by faith about what he's saying. He just all like blurts out of his mouth. And there's a bit of that in the paraphrase that the Message puts. So I want to sort of capture that as well. So let me read this. This is our blessing as we start the term. Okay, you listening? Ears open. More importantly, hearts open. I, Paul, am under God's plan as apostle, a special agent of Jesus Christ, writing to you, faithful believers in Farnham. Ephesus, but Farnham as well. I greet you in the name of grace and peace poured out into our lives by God our Father and Master, Jesus Christ. I mean, what a start. How blessed is God? And what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ. He takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it? Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are free people. Free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all of our misdeeds. And not barely free either. Abundantly free. He thought of everything. Provided for everything we could possibly need. Letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ. A long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven. Everything on deepest on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs for us, for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. You enjoying this? It's great. It is in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This down payment from God is the first installment of what is coming, a reminder that we will get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. That's why, when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master, Jesus, and your outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I think of you and give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask God, our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes fixed and clear so that you can see exactly what he's calling you to do, grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. You're getting his enthusiasm. And all this energy, he says, issues from Christ. God raised him from the dead and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. No name, no power, exempt from his rule. And just for the time being, not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. It is not, he's in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. Wow. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Wow. And when we look around at this motley crew, we might see something different sometimes. But the reality is this truth. There might be one out to whisper that that isn't the case, but this is the truth. He's in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of it, Christ rules his church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. We used to say this in every sermon for the first decade that the church existed, pretty much. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. See, today we stand, if you like, as we reflect on these things, on holy ground. Because the living God has chosen us. He's called us. He's named us. And placed us right here, right now, as his church, his people, his witnesses of the kingdom of light breaking into the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Amen? Let it motivate us, eh? Ephesians 1, it paints a breathtaking picture. Paul opens the curtain and lets us see what God has been planning all along. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, God dreamed of us. God dreamed of you. Now, some of you think that was a nightmare, but I'm telling you, that's the enemy says that. When he dreamed of you, he thought he was having fun and he was loving it because you're his beloved. From the beginning of the earth, he chose you, each one of you, to be part of a plan that he is doing in our time, in our nation. He dreamed of us. He dreamed of a church alive with his spirit. He carrying his light into a dark and fractured world. That's quite a cool why, isn't it? As we get to our programs, we'll be thinking about all sorts of things, but behind it is a kingdom advancing in Farnham, a kingdom of light and love, kingdom of healing. And as I just looked at this passage, I found four B's for you. There they are. Blessed. This helped you remember. Blessed. Paul begins, how blessed is God and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. See, the church exists first and foremost to bless God and glorify him. That's why one of our G's glorify, isn't it? What we're doing this morning is glorifying God. That's what we're doing. We're not just meeting in a school hall with a dodgy gate. We're actually the people of God, ready to receive the very presence of God and be a glorious place of blessing. We're here to bless God. But notice, in blessing him, he pours blessing into us. He lifts us up. He raises us to the highest places with Christ. Have we got faith for that? I mean, that is what he's doing. As we bless him, he lifts us up. The world says you're what you achieve. You're what you own. You're the labels others slap on you. But heaven says you're chosen, you're holy, you're beloved. That's the truth this morning. And the church exists to be a place where people hear the truest things about themselves. That they're not children of darkness, but children of light. They are blessed because they're also brought. The message says, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all of our misdeeds. Not just barely free either, abundantly free. See, the life Jesus offers us is free to us, but it was costly for him. The darkness says you're condemned, you're chained, you've gone too far, it's too late, there's no hope. But the cross shouts louder that you're forgiven, you're free, you can be made new, you can be healed, you can reconcile. That's what the cross shouts. See, Jesus came to bring deliverance that we might live. The devil still whispers, still ensnares, still steals, still deceives and distorts, tries to destroy. But Jesus came to deliver us from evil. Isn't it our prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, deliver us from evil. Thy kingdom come. See, Jesus proclaims freedom to the captives, forgiveness to the guilty, healing to the broken. It's what he did when he stood up at the beginning of his ministry, when we read it in Luke chapter 4. He stands there in the synagogue, gets the scroll, opens it up, and reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, it says, and he sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. Jesus came for us to set us free, to forgive us, to heal us. Let's not live just barely free. Let's live abundantly free as we start this term. He also, as a result of that, gave us a place where we can belong. The third bead, Paul says, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. God. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Had settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. Wow. See, the kingdom of darkness tells people they're orphans, alone, unwanted, forgotten. I meet people the whole time who are living with that in the core of their soul. But the kingdom of light declares something different. It declares adoption. It declares belonging. In Christ, God says, you're mine and I will never leave you. You are written into my family story. What a message for us to bring at this time into this world. Jubilee, we exist to be the family of God in a lonely world. Loneliness is one of the biggest issues in Farnham. Countless are lonely, many of them in a crowd. And we're called to be the place where people can belong. A lighthouse for the lost, a table with seats for prodigals coming home. I met Steve this week for coffee, and Steve goes right back to the beginning and remembers those verses that we used to say. And he's got prophetic gifts. I always listen to Steve, and most of the time he's right. Sometimes he isn't. But he said, I just feel in this year of faith, we need faith that people are going to come to faith. And I thought, that's like God speaking to me. I don't want him to get big-headed, wasn't it? He was a channel sort of thing, you know. Have we got faith that people are going to come to faith? Do you know what I have? Come January and our next Vision Sunday, because we like lots of vision, there's going to be people here who've just come to faith. I'm believing it. Because the kingdom is advancing. I'm praying Acts 26:18 that says, where God says, open their eyes so that they may turn from the kingdom of darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith. Oh, what a wonderful prayer. Fourth B, belong. We are blessed, bought, and belong to go beyond. It says he set it all out before us in Christ, the long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven and everything on planet Earth. See, the church isn't just a social club. The church isn't just a social action charity doing good in our town. We do good in our town. We're not just a Sunday hobby. We're people who are all in, as Hayley brought us from God earlier. We're a visible outpost of God's kingdom plan, a plan to unite heaven and earth under Christ's reign. I mean, it's a big calling that we have. Our why is as big as you can get. We have a ministry of reconciliation, helping people reconcile themselves with God, helping people reconcile themselves with each other. It's why we work so hard to bring people together in Farnham, to bring churches together in Farnham. Looking at Andy and Rebecca and Ben play a key role in bringing churches together. Let me just show you a little aside. This is like an advert, okay? So you can switch off if you want or make a cup of tea. But I just need to honour Ben Wills here, who it will hate me now for bringing the spotlight, but he has done a phenomenal thing. If you go to farnhamchurches.events website, it brings all of the churches together. So this Sunday, these are all of the churches. Oh, let me just put it up on that screen. These are all of the church services that are happening in the town. If you want to look at baby and toddler groups, if the internet's working, you can search up, it's disconnected, any of the church-based mums and tots groups. If you want to look at youth groups in the town, you can look up any of the youth groups. All the events that are happening across the churches, the outward-looking events, inviting people to them, are up on this website. And our man, Ben, put it together. So I think we should give him a little clap. Now I've screwed everything up. Why is that? That needs to disappear. There we are. God, you could have told me it's not in focus. There we are. We're to go beyond as a unifying, reconciling people. That when the world looks at us, they should catch a glimpse of heaven. A glimpse of the future, a future where justice rolls like rivers, where swords are beaten into plowshares, where every tribe and tongue gathers around a throne in love. And it is countercultural in our polarized, opinionated world. God is calling us to bring people together. Paul goes on, he says, it's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a down payment, if you like, of God's kingdom. The Spirit's the light that pushes back the darkness. And that is what's happening this autumn. Beloved, we live in a world of shadows. Fear, greed, loneliness, division. But Paul says at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. And the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. We may feel we're 100 people in a church hall, but God sees us very differently. And all the programs, all the things we're going to be doing, all the things we'll be sharing next week comes out of a conviction that we are something far more significant than a group of 100 people in a school hall. We're the church. We're Christ's body. That's quite a why, isn't it? The church exists to be the body of Christ, a place where his light breaks into the darkness. Where hope outshines despair, where love overcomes hate, where life defeats death. That's what we are. Jesus is no longer on this earth in bodily form. But instead, his presence comes by his Spirit and fills his church. Wow. And we, the church, his body in the world, in Farnham, in our street. By his resurrection and ascension, Christ is exalted to be Lord of all. He's head of all things for the church. And the church is his body, intended to express him in the world. That's a high calling, isn't it? More than that, the church is intended to be a full expression of him. What on earth does that mean? By being filled by him, whose purpose is to fill everything that there is. We, the church, are his body in Farnham at this time. Blows your mind, doesn't it? Blows my mind. That's why I'm passionate about the church. That's why I'm passionate about it, universal. All the different churches, even though a lot of them have got a lot of things wrong, in my perspective. And when I get to heaven, I probably find that actually, perhaps I got a few things wrong as well over the ways. But anyway, we need a confident humility to engage with others. But what in all of its frailty, there's nothing like it. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. And have we got faith for that? If we have, it makes what we're doing very different. As you read that first chapter in the book of Acts, we just see a radical church, don't we, that we wanted to be all those 20 years ago when we started it all off, a loving church that reflects the New Testament, where people took off their masks and shared their lives with one another. That was what we went for decades ago, where people laughed and cried and prayed and sang and served together in authentic fellowship. That was the vision that we had right at the beginning. We've talked about it many times. Those who had more shared with those who had less, till socioeconomic barriers melted away in the book of Acts. And we want to see that in Farnham in our day. People relating together in ways that bridged gender and racial chasms and celebrated cultural differences. That's what the church did then, and that's what the church is doing now. As an example to the world, an expression to the world. Acts 2 tells us this community of believers, the church, offered unbelievers in their time a vision of life that was so beautiful, it took their breath away. And it was so bold, so creative, so dynamic, they couldn't resist it. Verse 47 of chapter 2 in Acts says that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. We need a stir of faith. Wouldn't we love it to be daily that people were coming to faith? We grow as a church by being the sort of church Christ wants us to be, one with him right at the centre. It's why we break bread every Sunday. A church full of the Holy Spirit, full of Bible truth. Because those as a churches have the power to transform people and transform lives. Because it's Jesus' why. He was there to bring life. I get to meet all sorts of people these days. Civic leaders and people who have got titles that I don't understand and who play a significant role in our community. A lot of it's so good. But what I realize more and more is just how unpowerful these people are. How limited the power they have really is. Yes, they can allocate money. As good-hearted people, they can seek to set up initiatives that will help people. But in it, you know, they can't really get to the core of the problem, which is the human heart, isn't it? It's what the gospel says, what the Bible says, what we've said for years, that businessmen can provide sorely needed jobs, wide educators, I've said it before, can teach useful knowledge about the world, self-help programs can offer effective methods of behavioral modification, advanced technology, psychological techniques can help in self-understanding. And it's all good. We want to use the good that is there. But actually, what can really transform the heart of people? It's an encounter with Jesus, isn't it? I've said so many times, there's only one power that exists that can do that. It's the power of the love of God in Christ Jesus, the love that conquers sin, wipes out shame, heals wounds, reconciles enemies, patches up broken dreams, ultimately changes the world one life at a time. And that's what we're about to do through the autumn in so many different ways. The writers of Scripture tell us that this vision is the way things are supposed to be. And we, the church, his body full of truth and the presence of his Spirit, are his chosen vehicle to change the world. We're here to change the world. I mean, we start by changing ourselves, changing our families. But we're ultimately here to change the world. Do we believe it? Have we got faith for it? Because if we have, it motivates us in a different way when it comes to rotas, giving our money, serving, thinking, oh, I'm just a bit knackered today, I don't want to do that, you know. Actually, if we've got this why in our heart, it actually makes all those things, you know, I want to do that. I want to get involved with that because people's lives are going to be changed. I'm going to make a cake for the Refresh Cafe because actually... Unfortunately, that bit of the tape glitched out and we've got a lot of static on it that I'll put on later. And whatever it is. I can make cakes. Oh, the challenge is there now, isn't it? You see, all the stuff we're going to do has to be motivated by our why, doesn't it? I mean, we've got to think about how we do it as well, because we want to reflect Jesus in that. But we don't want to just focus on the doing without understanding and having real faith for the why we're doing it in the first place.
We need Juliet back in the room.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was going to say you could channel Juliet, but that's probably not a very good thing to say. So you can represent Juliet. You see, without churches, let me just finish with this, without churches filled with the power of God, or without churches so filled with the power of God they can't help but spill out and go beyond the church, goodness and peace and love and joy, bringing that all that into the world, depravity wins the day. Evil will flood the world. Evil will flood our town. Darkness will flood our town if we don't stand up and shine the light. Now, we might think we're a little bunch of people and we can't do that. That's all too overwhelming. But didn't he say a little bit of yeast? See, it doesn't have to be as it is. The kingdom of light and love and life can break in and is breaking. And this autumn, the forces of darkness, I believe, are going to be pushed back. Amen. I believe that this term, we're seeing an advance in the kingdom of God. Amen. Not just corporately, but in our lives. I've spoken to people this week where there is breakthrough needed in people's lives, where the kingdom of light is flooding in. And it's, for too long, there's been darkness, whispers from the enemy. And the kingdom of light is breaking in and pushing back the kingdom of darkness. The evil one who's had his way in this world for many, many, too long, I believe he's going to be forced back this term as we, his body, grasp the why. I don't know about you. When I think of Farnham and just hear the statistics about young people in the town now, hear statistics about all sorts of ways that things are breaking down. And Hayley comes back from school and tells me all the training she's had and what they're recognizing is happening with little kids. You think, crumbs. There's a thief who's been stealing things. And it's time for us to rise up as his body in this town. Amen? Philippians 4:3 says, I'm ready for anything through the strength that Christ who lives in me. We, Jubilee, are the church. God, that sounds like Angela then. Angela Kem. We are the church. We're his body. The risen Christ's body. Yeah. Us. Yeah. Now. Yeah. Wow. Let the thief retreat. And Jesus bring life. Abundant life this autumn. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth within it. I just pray, Lord, that you'd speak through these passages that we've looked at this morning. That even as we're listening, if we've had little whispers from a serpent, I just pray that you would help us resist them. Because we know that your word says the enemy then flees. Resist the devil when he flees. Why? Because we're Jesus people. And all authority in heaven on earth was given to Jesus. And as we read on our banner each Sunday, Jesus says he's with us. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're with us. And we want to be your body. And we want to do that well and to be a good expression, full of your truth, full of your spirit in our community in these days. And Lord, we want to be in the good of that as we then start thinking about all the exciting things we're going to do. But we want to be motivated in all of our doing by this glorious why. And we ask you to help us stir faith, stir vision in our hearts for it, in Jesus' name. And as we come to this communion table, Lord, we thank you that each week... Each week we remember your promise that you said that you would give us your body, that you walked around on earth, Lord Jesus, you showed us the way, and then it cost you everything, and you broke your body for your people. You shed your blood for your church. Yeah. It cost you everything so that it's free for us. Yeah, and so we come to this communion table today knowing our why, knowing that you gave everything for us that we could live free, that we could know abundant life. And Lord, we're sorry when we don't enter into it in the way we should, when we're half-hearted. And I just pray, Lord, as we come and take communion this Sunday, you would help us say to ourselves, enough is enough. The enemy is not having any victory in my life. But the Holy Spirit has come to transform me, to be more and more like Christ. And so, Lord, we want to encounter you as we take the bread and the wine this morning. We want to become more and more like you. And we want to do what you did. Because it's all about you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that we come in the good of that as we break bread this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen.